Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, welcome back to the Chase Thomas podcast, where I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, coming to you late on a Tuesday, where I'm joined by a first timer who's still riding that first win of the season. Hi, Malcolm Hart is here. Malcolm, good evening, sir. How are you?
Ooh, I'm doing good, man. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Not the same. I will say it's not the same for me in terms of football weekend. Falcons struggled through the Bucks game on Sunday, and it's been a really, really boring season. Like, our seasons are completely different, where the Detroit Lions have become America's team. Your team is America's team, where everyone's just locked in, hoping you can pull it out every week, and it's fun. Like, all your games are weird for the most part. There's nothing fun about a Falcons game in 2021. They're all pretty boring. They're all really sad, and they're all just depressing for the current state of Matt Ryan. It's very different for me than I'm guessing for you. And we have, what, 5 more wins than you? It's a very weird, weird situation.
Wow. I mean, I honestly didn't realize that everybody was, you know, rooting for Lions like this. I didn't know until we won. It was, you know, just seeing Detroit Lions just finally get a win. It was special.
No, I mean, everyone is. It's just, I think it's partly because Dan Campbell is like the antithesis of Matt Patricia. Like, I don't think America is doing this, and like, people are just actively, jumping for joy for the Lions if it was still Matt Patricia. Like, I think the difference between the two of them and their personalities, and Campbell's reaction after the game in the postgame locker room, hugging Miss Ford and all that, like, there's just something naturally likable about him. Is it that he is still alive with his Starbucks coffee order every morning? Like, that's part of it too. I mean, I think there's just something easily rootable about Dan Campbell, even if we're like unsure if he's not kind of a Jim Tomsula type. It's just something where you're like, I enjoy this. I like this.
You know what it is? I think it was the kneecap biting speech.
Yeah.
I think that won America over.
I think
everybody's like, wow, yeah, he bite kneecaps. I like that.
Right. It was just one of those things. You just, he's all in, but it's also the intensity. And I think that kind of belief and just that kind of, I don't know how to describe it. It's just more of like, it's not just confidence, but it's just, he's an electric personality that I think is kind of contagious. I would say when you listen to him talk and stuff like that, you're like, oh, I understand why players love him and people rally around him, because his demeanor is, I think, contagious for a lot of people around him.
Yeah. And the fans in Detroit, they love him, man, because it is completely night and day between what we had before with, I don't even like saying the name. I don't even like saying the name out loud. Matt Patricia. Uh-huh. I call him Pencilhead. yeah, Matt Patricia and Dan Campbell. It was like Matt Patricia was so, it was like everything was scripted. Like every post game conference was exactly the same. Everyone. You know, yeah, we need to play better. I need to coach him better. We need, you know, the better pad level. He'll say the same things over and over. Like, dude, this is your fourth year and you still talk about pad level, like same thing over and over and over, and you'll see no adjustment with, can't believe I'm saying his name again, Matt Patricia. But Dan Campbell, totally different story. This guy is honest. He'll tell you as it is, like, yo, I messed up, this sucks, but we're gonna fix it, you know. And he's not afraid to make adjustments, you know, going from one game to the next, and he's not afraid to take challenges. Like right now, he's calling plays and nobody's seen this coming. Nobody's seen this coming as far as Dan Campbell calling plays, being a play caller.
When did he get privileges? When did he take, or I guess take the reins back?
He took over the play calling duties after the bye week. I guess okay. He saw that the Detroit Lions, they just weren't scoring enough points, especially in the first quarter. It went to a point that within like 5 or 6 games, they haven't scored in a half. So they were just not scoring any points in the first half. So I guess he wanted to change that. It did take some time for him to get some things rolling, but you know, last week or you know the past Sunday, we seen what this offense can you know actually do, and they actually put up 20 points in the first half, which shocked the hell out of everybody. So, kudos to Dan Campbell, man. He's definitely what Detroit needed.
Well, what happened in that game? So walk us through the Vikings game because it was a weird one. How did the Lions ultimately pull that out? Was that how much of it would you give to Mike Zimmer not exactly coaching the game of his life there? How much of that was the Vikings doing everything they can not to win that game? And how much of it was the Lions did stuff that put them in a position to win?
I guess with the Vikings, what they did because they had a lot of injuries in their defense, I guess they just second-guessed themselves and they went away from what they normally do. They actually showed a lot of soft coverages. They rarely blitz Jared Goff. And I mean, if you are scouting the Detroit Lions, you know that Jared Goff under pressure, when you pressure him, put any type of pressure on him, he's more prone to make mistakes or fumble the ball away. But they didn't bring any pressure. They rarely blitz. They did these soft zones to kind of help their secondary out. And Jared Goff took advantage of it. I mean, this was the first game we saw Jared Goff throw this ball around for four quarters. Now, we've seen him briefly against the Packers, the first half against the Packers. But this game, all four quarters, Jared Goff was letting it rip to everybody. All the tight ends, our wide receiver, our young wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know, got his first touchdown, had his career game. Jared Goff just had a really – this was Jared Goff's best game as a Detroit Lion. So I guess for Dan Campbell, his game plan going into this game – knowing that the Vikings secondary was so beat up and their linebackers, both of the linebackers were out. They had no, both of the edge rushers were out as well. So Detroit Lions took advantage of the opportunity that was in front of them. So they let Jared Goff let it rip. They were able to run the ball consistently. And they were able to do what they want to do, man. Dan Campbell actually executed the perfect game plan for what was in front of them.
What has looked different about the Lions the last few weeks versus what you saw early on this year?
So the last few games hasn't looked like what we saw last week.
Okay.
All right, so it was a little different situation. You know, Jared Goff was dealing with the injury, so it was a point that they were just running the ball and they weren't letting Jared Goff throw the ball, so you're trying to protect Jared Goff when he was out there. And when he actually missed the game, he actually missed the game a couple weeks ago, and we had Tim Boyle out there. And I guess with the weather conditions, I was out there, it was raining, and I guess Dan Campbell didn't want Tim Boyle to, you know, completely throw this game away by, you know, causing turnovers. They were really conservative as well. They were throwing screens, running the ball. They weren't really throwing the ball downfield. So this game was a totally different story from what any Lions fan seen from the Detroit Lions offensively all year. This is the first time we got to see four quarters of, you know, entertaining, fun football, because it's been really bad in the past few weeks. If you're just the fan that's just looking at the numbers, looking at Jared Goff, you're like, oh, he's not that bad. You know, he's completing, you know, close to 70%. You know, his touchdown, the interception ratio is not that bad, you know, for what he has, but he's been downright terrible. He's been downright terrible, you know, since we got him. And it came down to that he was just checking the ball down, missing wide open receivers, which he actually missed a wide open receiver this game, but he was just missing guys left and right, that guys that were just completely wide open. And, you know, it was a lack of everything. You know, the offensive line wasn't holding up, our receivers, they were dropping balls. It was just a mixture of everything. So everything offensively wasn't going right in the beginning of the season. And the last three games with the injuries that Jared Goff was dealing with and, you know, having Tim Boyle out there as, you know, as a starting quarterback didn't really go as well either. But this was the first game we actually saw an offense. It was entertaining for all Lions fans, and every Lions fan enjoyed it. It was a great game for us, man.
The thing with Goff, though, and it's something that, like, when I watch their snaps and I watch, it's something that the Falcons, and not to equate everything back to the Falcons on this very podcast, but as someone who is victimized by the Atlanta Falcons 17 times a year now, I have to draw the corollaries whenever I can. And something that when I look at Khalif Raymond getting the most amount of snaps at wideout for you guys this year, and I look at Quintez Cephas maybe being your best receiver to this point, and you put that into context for Jared Goff, who, like you said, has been a check down guy. He's completing a lot of his passes, but he's just been bad. And Matt Ryan is kind of in that same kind of ballpark where Okay, so it's Tajae Sharpe. It's Hayden Hurst has been out. Kyle Pitts is not in all the time. And then Calvin Ridley's been away from the team for most of the year now. And it's suddenly like when he's taking these sacks and he's getting killed. And part of it is Jalen Mayfield and McGarry. And like there have been some problems in the offensive line. But no one's open. Like a lot of this stuff, you go back and look, it's like there's not a lot of talent. Like when Elamide Zaccheaus is a big time option for you, there's a problem and there's no running game and nothing like that to fall back on outside of Cordell Patterson just doing everything he possibly can for this team in the city. It's just tough. So I wonder for you, having watched every Jared Goff snap, how much would you contribute at least to the fact that there is no depth really at the wide out front for Detroit this year?
Yeah. So if you ask a different Lions fan, you're going to get a different perspective on this topic all around. Now, my belief on this is I think it's a mixture of everything. I think it's a mixture of the quarterback. I think it was a mixture of the offensive line. Just they didn't have they didn't have Taylor Decker for half of the year. Penei Sewell, our first round pick, he was playing left tackle, right tackle, like he was bouncing around left and right side.
So he seems to figure it out though a little bit, right?
Oh yeah, no, right now he's playing at a very high level on the right side right now. So kudos to him. But before they got the offensive line settled, the offensive line was shaky. We had guys like there's a guy named Matt Nelson who was our right tackle, and he wasn't holding up too much. So I think it was evolving the protection, the wide receivers, the play calling, and also Jared Goff. I honestly believe that, because our situation not wide, I really believe the coaching staff was like, look, let's not force it. If it's not there, check it down, call it a day, live to, have another play, that's what I believe. Other Lions fans are like, oh, Jared Goff is just a check down king. He does this, and does this. But I honestly believe a lot of it was the coaching staff telling him to do that. And because when we had Tim Boyle out there, his game was exactly the same way as Jared Goff. He was checking it down left and right. He threw one deep shot, and then after that, it was just check down, check down, check down. And I think it's something that the coaching staff was asking them to do. But this game was, I guess, they knew the situation. But with the Vikings not having a pass rush, Everson Griffin was out. Daniel Hunter, he was also out. Both of the middle linebackers, the linebacker and the Will and Mike linebacker was also out. So they're playing a lot of backups. Secondary, Peterson was out. So they didn't really have much on the defensive side. So they just took advantage of it. I'm hoping this continues because we saw a very exciting offense. Jared Goff was throwing the ball over. So we're just hoping this continues.
So you want to keep winning games. You want to get this. You're not worried about the number one, number two pick or anything.
I've never been like, I've never been that type of fan.
Okay.
Never been that type of fan. I've been a Lions fan since 97.
Okay.
I've seen first round pick. I've seen it all. Does that first round pick automatically change your franchise? It doesn't automatically change your franchise.
Yeah.
Now, right now we're in a position that we have two first round picks for the next 2 years. We have two first round picks this year, two first round picks next year. If we get the 4 or 5 spot, I could care less.
Yeah.
We're going to have two first round picks this year, two first round picks next year. I'm not that fan, man. I'm more of the fan, build momentum, win some games. Hell, if this team could run the table, I doubt it. If they could run the table, I'll be happy.
We're already talking about running the table now. We went from, are we going 0-17 to can we run the table? I love Lions fans. We've already done it. Okay.
Whoa. I'm not saying they will. I'm not saying they will.
But you're in on it. You're like, it's a possibility.
I don't think it's a possibility. I think we played the Packers again.
Hey, well, you know what? Y'all have a weird, Stafford's not here anymore, but for whatever reason, the Lions and the Packers, it's not as lopsided as you would think over the last 10 years.
It's not. It's not. I think the Lions, they really play up to the competition.
Yeah.
For some reason, I always feel that way. Like, there's games that people are like, oh, we're playing the Ravens. We're going to get killed. I'm like, man, this is the Lions' way. They're going to play close, and they may find a way to lose it at the end. And look at the Ravens game. We lost by a goddamn field goal. 67-yard field goal. Nobody's seen that coming.
I mean, that was the Lions' way to lose. I like this because we can commiserate.
It's the Lions' way.
Hey, we can commiserate on this. The Falcons, just as much sadness. I mean, the 28-3, like everything. Like I can play this game too, man. It's dire for us out here.
Like we played the Rams. I believe we lost to the Rams by like a touchdown. But going to that game, the spread, the Vegas spread was like 16 points. I was like, there's no way. I know the Lions, they're going to play this game close, find a way to lose at the end. They always do this. And what happened? They played it close. You know, you saw a whole bunch of trick plays and going for it and onside kicks and going for it on fourth down. Like, they did everything. They tried every single thing possible to make this a game. And they made it a game. They lost a very close game at the end. Wasn't no 16-point spread. Definitely wasn't no 16-point spread. But what the Lions do is that there's a game that you're like, oh, this is a winnable game. Mm. This is a winnable game for Detroit Lions. What do? They'll lose like 35-7. That's the Lions' way. It's crazy. They always do this.
Is there a chance they run it back with Jared Goff next year?
He's under contract, man.
Well, I mean, are you going to draft? Like, do you want a quarterback in round one?
You know what? This is what I want, and okay. I hope they do this. There's a lot of quarterbacks that's coming out next year who I think were very juicy. You know, you got Bryce Young.
Yeah.
You know, you got CJ Stroud. You got those guys, and I think those are going to be top prospects coming out. This year, I think the quarterback class is kind of shaky.
It's weird. Like, I'm a Matt Corral guy. I've watched him a lot up close. I think he'll probably translate well. Malik Willis fell off, but the thing with Malik Willis is the Liberty offensive line, for folks that don't watch, is atrocious. Like, getting him killed every week. Like, it's a joke. So the difference between him and last year is literally just an offensive line. So I don't know, man. It's hard. Like, there's not like one name that pops more than the rest. It's definitely not like this past draft, but I don't know. Quarterbacks are always going to be a crapshoot, and you're just, I don't know. It's tough. But also, the weird thing with the Lions, and can you explain this to me, where the Vikings, like, this is a franchise, the Vikings, and I promise the last mile include the Falcons into this, but like, the Falcons took two offensive linemen in the first round 2 years ago.
Okay.
One's worked out, one hasn't. They've drafted a bunch of offensive linemen in the first round. They've invested a lot of capital and resources into the offensive line. The Minnesota Vikings have done the same thing, and they can't do it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many first-round picks they throw at their offensive line. The Minnesota Vikings are not allowed to ever have a good offensive line. Then you have the Detroit Lions, who, it doesn't matter who's running things. It doesn't matter who the GM is, who the coach. You guys have this offensive line. I look through it, and I'm just like, I don't understand why Detroit, out of everything else, the offensive line seems to always be good, decent to good. Explain the offensive line stuff in Detroit to me.
And this is the crazy part, man. We're not even fully healthy in the offensive line right now. You know, our center, Frank Ragnow, he's on IR. So I think if we had our full arsenal on our offensive line, I think they'll let Jared Goff take more shots out in the field. But the past few years, even with the old regime, I don't like talking about them too much.
It's Bob like Quinn Voldemort and, for you.
Yeah. I mean, they hit on some guys. You know, they hit on Taylor Decker.
Jeff Okuda.
You know,
I'm sorry.
you had to do that. That's cool. To talk about Jeff Okuda, man, I wasn't too happy about that pick. There was a guy who I wanted us at that point to address the interior line. That's what I wanted the Detroit Lions to do, because the year before we drafted Jeff Okuda, we couldn't stop the run. No matter who was back there, we couldn't stop the run, and we couldn't put pressure on any quarterback. Like, the quarterback just had all day. So I was like, you know what? Any team that's, you know, that's, if you're rebuilding a team or you're trying to win, you got to build from up front. You got to be able to put some type of pressure on the quarterback or stop the run. If you can't stop the run or put pressure on the quarterback, chance of you winning games slim to none. It's going to be really hard for you to win games.
Go Falcons.
Pencilhead, Matt Patricia, he believes in coverage. Like, that was the last 3 years of him, it was the absolute worst. It was the absolute worst because...
Was that the worst part of your Lions fandom since 97? Was that stretched the worst three-year stretch for
honestly,
you?
It was honestly worse than the early 2000s.
Really?
It was really honestly worse because you're watching this team. You have Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. And Matthew Stafford, I always thought, was an elite quarterback. Till this day, I still think he's elite. He has his flaws. But the thing is, you have a quarterback like Matthew Stafford, and you can't win a goddamn playoff game? You telling me you have Matthew Stafford and you can't win a playoff game? So with Pencilhead, we had Matthew Stafford, and we weren't, the most wins we had with Pencilhead was six wins with Matthew Stafford. The defense was, I mean, he ran all of our vets away. Every single vet wanted to get the hell out of there. We had an interview with Glover Quinn. For people who don't know Glover, because you should know Glover Quinn.
Yeah,
he's a Pro Bowl safety.
Texan.
Pro Bowl with the Texans, with us. We had him on our pod one time, and we talked to him. Actually, multiple times we had him on the pod, and we talked to him, and he literally said, as soon as they hired him, he wanted out. He asked them, "Look, release me." He told them to release me. And wow. They told him no. He knew he was at the end of the career of his career, and he didn't want to be there because he was with the Caldwell era where things were trending upwards.
Yeah.
You know, they're consistently winning, you know, eight to nine wins. They were trending in the upward direction that they just needed to get over the hump. When the Detroit Lions hired Pencilhead, he wanted to tear the whole franchise. He wanted to tear Detroit down and turn them to the Detroit Patriots.
Yeah.
That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to turn the Lions into the Detroit Patriots.
What the Texans are doing right now.
Yeah. I mean, but they're having, I guess they're having more success, but.
I mean, I would say they're having more success, but I would say it's a wait and see. It's a TBD. But it's also, we just see this in sports a lot now. The teardown thing where it's like, you have to rip it to its bones. And it's like, no, you don't. Like, not every, that's not how this works. And it's just job security. All that is job security because it lowers expectations. It gets fans ready to lose a lot of games. And then they're supposed to believe that in year four, year five, that everything turns the corner. But it's like, you have to hit on all these other things before that, be an elite evaluator of talent, elite play caller, elite, all this stuff. And it's just not a real thing, but people fall into that trap. But the older you get, you're more likely to be like, I don't think so. And Jim Caldwell just came in and was like, no, I'm just going to go win eight games. That's what I'm going to go do.
Yeah. I mean, as a Lions fan, I mean, that was the highest point for us for a very long time when we had Jim Caldwell. But the thing is, if you're going to fire him, you know, and you saying because he couldn't get over the hump to win you a playoff game and he lost some games that were questionable that he should have won. I get it. You know, you want to get over the hump. But
you're the Lions.
My thing is, how can you sit down in an interview with Pencilhead across from you and he says, yeah, let's tear this shit down. And they say, okay. That's the part that just kills me. Like, how do you let that happen? You have a roster the following year went 9-7. All right. You're firing the coach because you believe he didn't get the best out of those guys. You believe that team was better. And, you know, you're going to hire a guy to get the best out of those guys. But what do? You hire a guy to say, I want to tear it down and fix the culture that didn't need to be fixed. We just needed to get over a hump. We needed to win a division title, which we haven't done since, 92, 93, 91. And we needed to win a playoff game. And we just needed to win a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if any coach that wins a playoff game in Detroit, they're going to build a statue outside of Ford Field. That's how much a point, like, we need to win at least a playoff game. We haven't won a playoff game since 91.
I was born in 91.
It was that bad.
Man.
And I'm not going to tell you when the last time we won another playoff game since then.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you that.
You know, what's some improvement on the air?
I'm going to tell you the last time we won a playoff game other than 91. 1957.
Man. That's
1957. That's when the last time the Lions won a playoff game, 1957. The next time after that was 91. And then until this day, we haven't won a goddamn playoff game.
That's wild.
That is wild. Yes, that's definitely wild.
That's almost impossible.
I don't know how they do it. Like, it's crazy.
The Marlins tear it down, and outside of 1 year, they just win the World Series every 10 years. And the Lions are out here just allergic to playoff victories. In terms of the secondary, because you brought up the secondary, it's been bad all across the board. I'm looking everywhere, and I'm just like, everything is bad. But I liked your DC hire, and I liked where you're going with this. I liked Trey Flowers. I like some pieces here, but man, it does look like the defense has a long, long way to go. Like, is there any positive in the secondary right now?
I'm gonna tell you this right now. If you don't watch the team, if you just look at the roster, you're like, oh shit, who's this? Who the hell is that? Mm-hmm. And you're like, who is that? But these guys, they've been playing a lot better than who they are. You know, our starting cornerback right now is Emmanuel Warrior. He has 5 interceptions this year. He's actually playing solid. You know, he has his ups and downs. Like, last week, he gave up like damn near 200 yards to Jefferson. But he's playing higher than we expected him to play. You know, he's playing as our starting quarterback. We didn't have him being our starting cornerback going into this year. But he's a starting, you know, he's CB1. And he has 5 picks, and he's doing a good job for what he's doing. And then our corner next to him is Jerry Jacobs. And Jerry Jacobs is a guy who was an undrafted free agent. All right. He's a very small guy, but this guy's like a pit bull, man. You can see that his motor is very high. And what he's doing right now, I believe since he's been our starting corner on the other side of Emmanuel Warrior, I believe he only gave up one touchdown all year. So his coverage is actually pretty solid. His tackling is phenomenal. Now, his tackling is phenomenal. So I actually really like our secondary. I'm not really too...
Walker's okay.
Yeah, Tracy Walker's okay. I believe we do need maybe another safety right now. Will Harris, he has his ups and downs. I think this is, he's having one of his better years with us.
I think
us.
You need to get A.J. Parker some more snaps.
A.J. Parker, he's on IR right now.
Well, no, I was just saying he's 114 out of 118 per PFF in corner.
He doesn't have enough. I mean, he's on IR right now, but he's another guy, another undrafted free agent that's, you know, came in as a nickel and he's playing well. So,
yeah,
I think what Aaron
linebacker
Glenn
seems
doing,
like a need too.
Yeah, linebackers a need. I mean, we have Alex Anzalone when PFF hates him.
Yeah, they do not. They're not a fan.
Yeah, they're not a fan of Alex Anzalone. But I think he's playing solid. I'm not saying he's playing great, playing good. He's playing solid. He's a, you know, he's a good leader for the young guys. Like, we have a guy named Derek Barnes who he doesn't get much snaps because he's a rookie. But this guy, I believe, is going to be the future of our linebacking core. He showed some flashes last week. You know, he got in the game because of there was an injury with Jalen Reeves' Maven. So he had probably his most snaps since, you know, all year. And, you know, you see the flashes. Very quick, big, shoots the gaps really well. So he's a future of the team. I think they do need another, like, linebacker. Hopefully they draft one with our second first-round pick, hopefully. You know, there's a guy in Utah who I think is just amazing, Devin Lloyd. If they could get him, you know, that would be nice. But, yeah, we definitely need, another body in the linebacking core.
I like it. Well, when you look at the schedule down the stretch here, what games do you have circled for big games that you're excited about as we get to the tail end here of the 2021 season?
All right, so you're probably not going to like this, but so we play the Denver Broncos.
Right.
I think this is a 50-50 game. I think they have a shot to win, but then again, this is, like I said, this is a game that, you know, you give the Lions a chance and then they end up losing by like 40 points. So this is one of those games that I think it's a 50-50 game because I think the Denver Broncos are struggling on both sides of the ball right now.
I'm concerned you're going to throw the Falcons game out onto this.
That's what I say. You're not going to like me because I think that's another, I'm not saying they're going to win. I think that's another 50-50 game for Detroit. But then again, like I said, the way the Detroit Lions operate, when they have a 50-50 game, when you give them some type of hope, like, oh, yeah, we could win, they end up losing by like 20, 30 points. So, I mean, right now, those are the two games I'm really looking forward to. I guess they play the Seahawks. I'm not sure how Russell Wilson is going to look. Hopefully, he's still playing on one hand. I don't know.
But we'll see. People to bet on the Lions covering the Cardinals game in 2 weeks. Like,
absolutely,
they're going to cover.
Absolutely. 100%.
They're keeping that close.
The spread is probably going to be like 2 or 3 touchdowns.
They're covering that. The Lions.
100%. I guarantee you. I guarantee you that game they're going to lose by 6 points.
I love it.
They're going to lose by 6 points. They're not going to win. They're going to keep it close. It's going to be very entertaining. But then it's going to be just like the Rams game. It'll be too much for them at the end. But
you're like Nebraska of the NFL now.
I think so.
Nebraska just being amazing. They have a positive point differential and just 3-9. Like that's the kind of stuff that is amazing. It's amazing stuff. The way they lose games late and just play everybody tough.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a better, if you are that person that bets, for that Cardinals game, 100% take the Detroit Lions, plus whatever they have. Whatever the spread is, take it.
I like it. Well, Malcolm, this has been great. What can the good folks check out from you and the team this week on Everything Lions?
If you want to, follow or listen to our podcast, if you're a Detroit Lions fan, we have our podcast. It's called The Pride Podcast, a Detroit Lions podcast. It's me with my two guys, my two other hosts. You know, I have my host Tyler and my other co-host Pierre. You know, we just, you know, it's kind of like a barbershop talk, but we focus more on the numbers and, you know, we try to make it entertaining as possible. We crack jokes and we just have a good time. And as far as for this weekend, you know, we're hoping for a Detroit Lions win. Let's go.
Hey, and you know, we're co-workers, both part of the Blue Wire family. So this
yes,
is
sir.
Yeah, exactly. This is awesome. So we'll have to do more of these as the season goes on and when we see what happens with the Detroit Lions going forward. But good luck this weekend, sir. Can't say good luck in a couple weeks, but good luck for now. And thank you so much for making the time, Malcolm. I greatly appreciate it.
Hey, man, no problem. I had a blast, man. Thanks a lot, man.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.